They're here! How the hell are you, Braves country? The Atlanta Braves have woken from their long winter's nap, a little longer than we wanted last year, and we are ready for spring training baseball. And we're going to get you set today, and we will be with you throughout the entire 2024 Atlanta Braves season. Today we're going to hear from Brian Snicker. We're going to hear from Michael Harris on the addition of Chris Sale. We're going to hear from Chris Sale, and got a couple other things in store here on Braves Country today, your pregame show for Atlanta Braves baseball for 2024. You can find us right here on Braves Country Radio. Braves Country today will come your way just before first pitch of your Atlanta Braves. Just hop on YouTube, best place to find us. We'll be hitting you live. Braves Country tonight will be the postgame show, new for this year. And we'll have the call-in show. We'll have the phone lines open up if anybody wants to chime in, or even if they just want to put it in the chat on our YouTube channel, we'll respond to those as well. And we will be bringing it all to you here on WQEE 99.1 FM all season long. It will be on your other affiliates, but you'll always hear us reference WQEE. So we will be here for all of your Braves action. Now, let's get into what the Atlanta Braves are looking at here in 2024. Looking at a couple of different things. First of all, I do want to go through the Pecota projections for the Atlanta Braves. And we're going to go through the National League East today of your Atlanta Braves, the Philadelphia Phillies, the Mets, the Marlins, the Nationals. We'll hit up a couple of the other big contenders on just where they're at on the Pecota rankings, where they're being projected as of right now, wins and losses. It kind of gives you an idea, kind of a barometer. Obviously, these things are not 100% accurate, but it does give you an idea that if a team stays healthy, we all know that baseball is 1,000% all about the numbers, and this is kind of gives you a breakdown, gives you an idea. We're going to go over the percentages of the projections on who should win each division. Also, the playoff percent numbers. Those are interesting because there's some teams out there you're really going to kind of take almost a double take. You're like, really? They're not shoo-ins. But your Atlanta Braves are being projected as shoo-ins. That doesn't mean everything. We've seen teams like the New York Mets last year. They were supposed to be shoo-ins, though we predicted, and it ended up being so, that they were being overvalued. I don't think that's the case with the Atlanta Braves. I don't think it's the case with the Los Angeles Dodgers. I think they're both being highly valued because of the depth of the rosters. Now, obviously, you can't project injuries. You can't project how a team is going to accept certain players. But there's a lot of continuity on both of those teams. And then other teams that are looking back to bounce back. What are the St. Louis Cardinals going to look like? Can the Cincinnati Reds take that next step? Has Milwaukee fallen off? We're going to talk about all of that on Braves Country today, and leading up to opening day, as we will take you step by step. We're going to do divisions. We're going to do predictions. All of that is coming up this month, and I cannot wait to get it going. All right, first up on the docket today, this is a clip of Billy Ripken and Matt Vasgersian on MLB talking about the addition of Chris Sale and what that could mean for the Atlanta Braves. Take a listen.
Entering his 14th season, he's going to be 35 at the end of March, but in his own words, feeling stronger and healthier than he has in a long time in the spring. And if that's the Chris Sale that the Braves got, heads up rest of the National League East.
What I think is cool about that is because, look, the Braves have been throwing a lot of people out there on the bump over the past few years, and we like them. And then all of a sudden, okay, one starting pitcher goes away, then another starting pitcher goes away, whether injury, whatever it may be. Could it be that Chris Sale comes back feeling good and actually answers a lot of those problems and says, hey, give me the ball 30 times? Because I would love to see it. I don't think there's anybody more fun to watch than when this dude's on the bump and he's right.
Yeah.
There's a uniqueness about that delivery. He's slanging it. He's throwing hard. He's got a huge breaking ball to go with it. So I think it would be really cool to see him get 30 starts. I'm pulling for it.
Totally agree. I think he's going to be kind of rejuvenated as well. Not that he wasn't with good players and with the good team previously, but he's walking into an all-star team. Yeah. I mean, the Atlanta Braves are absolutely loaded. It's World Series or bust for this squad, not just let's get one of the postseason spots and work into a wild card. You know, when you're a good player and you've won previously, you could speak to this better than I. I've heard great athletes say this. You go to a pre-existing great system, a vanguard brand.
Yeah.
And you find a different gear, and I think Chris Sale is going to be really good.
It would be nice, because like I said, when he's right, I mean, he's as good to watch as any pitcher ever. He does it differently.
So there you have those two talking about. Look, I obviously, we have high hopes here in Braves country, and that would not shock anybody. Anybody who dips in here who may not even be a Braves fan, they will understand that we have high hopes. And rightfully so. This has been the best team in baseball for the last few years. And we only have won the one championship to show for it. And honestly, the team that won the championship is the worst of the three. And you can make the argument the worst of the four. It's hard for me to quantify 2020 because it really was just an outlier. It wasn't a real season. No one will ever look at 2020 as a real championship year. Other than Dodger fans, and okay, I get that. If I was a Dodger fan, I'd probably be beating that drum as well. When you only have won that one since 1988, of course you're going to go, whoa. But as an honest engine, the rest of the league doesn't look at 2020 as a championship league. You know, we've talked about this before, won't get back into it, but the NFL is the only one that kind of felt like it. The rest of it seemed a little discombobulated because you just didn't have the fans and there wasn't the travel and whatnot. But we set that aside. We go into this season, you look at the championship run in 2021, which was literally lightning in a bottle. You look at 2022, where they ran down the Mets and they were the best team in baseball and ran out of gas. And then 2023, they tried everything to make sure that team wouldn't run out of gas, and it didn't work. The Phillies flat out beat the Braves. You cannot argue against that. The Phillies beat us. They outplayed us. They weren't the better team. Phillies know that. And they're going to take jabs and they're going to be talking smack. But hey, that's what rivalries are about. And that's why it's going to feel so damn good to knock them out the box this year. But you look at this team, I can tell you right now, Matt, not many teams, not just in Major League Baseball, not many teams in sports would trade what the Atlanta Braves have coming into 2024, no matter how you slice it. We've got the talent to win it all. But just like any other sport, you got to step up and you got to make those plays. You got to make sure when it counts, you're there. But before we get to any of that, and I do worry about us putting the cart before the horse, it is a real worry for me. Because anytime you go into a season, and look, I like the idea that Spencer Strider saying World Series or bust. I get that. The World Series or bust thing doesn't bother me at all. As long as the focus is still on the regular season, and then when we get to the postseason, when we've punched our ticket, then we stay laser focused at that point. But you can be playing as well as you want to, leaving September, heading into October, but it's not going to do you any good if you didn't qualify for the playoffs to begin with. So that's number one with the bullet. You've got to have your eyes on the prize. The eyes on the prize is win the division. And I know that a lot of folks are going to have this theory. You just get ready for it. Their theory is going to be we're better off not winning the division, playing in that first round, and staying sharp. And I would agree with you if we were talking about a video game. But boys and girls, we're talking about athletes going through the grind of a 162-game season. And if you get to choose, you're always going to choose getting that bye. It's also not a given that if you win the division, you're going to get the bye. Two of the three division winners get the bye. But the other reason why it would be imperative to win your division is because you're going to have home field advantage. So even if you're in a situation, let's say there's a team in the National League Central that runs away with that has a ridiculous record. We'll just say the Chicago Cubs, right? No one sees it coming. Holy cow. They're on fire. They win 104 games, 105 games, and they and the Dodgers have the bye, meaning we would have to play the first round, but you would get at home if you won the division. Now, you would also get that situation if you were the first wild card. I still think that there should be something to the reseeding, and you're not going to convince me otherwise. There's no reason why you cannot reseed in the Major League Baseball postseason. They don't all of a sudden, I'll give you a for instance, let's say the division winners are, I'm going to go by the Pecota rankings, it would be the easiest way to do it. Let's say the division winners are Atlanta, St. Louis, L.A. And Atlanta and L.A. get the two byes. And St. Louis is going to face, at home, the Arizona Diamondbacks. And the Philadelphia Phillies are going to face the Chicago Cubs at home. And that's how it plays out. The winners of those two series, they don't just jump to the next series. So in other words, if one series is swept and the other series is a three-game series, they don't all of a sudden just start playing the games. They wait till the next round for it to begin. So there's no reason why, let's just say there's an upset, and let's say the Chicago Cubs upset the Philadelphia Phillies, but St. Louis beats Arizona. The team with the best record should get the team with the worst record, and it should happen in the American League as well. Perfect example was last year when the Braves' best record in baseball had to face the Phillies, even though the Arizona Diamondbacks had upset Milwaukee. They need to change that. They need to fix that. And what you would have gotten is one of two things. You would either have gotten the Dodgers versus the Braves, because who knows how that series plays out, in a seven-game series for the NLCS, which would have been phenomenal. Or, and I do believe the Braves would have beaten Arizona. I don't know how in the world. I watched that series. I did some of that series. I don't know how in the world Arizona got off the mat and fought back, and basically the Philadelphia Phillies choked it away. But I do believe the Braves would have taken out Arizona. And so then you would have either had Braves versus the Dodgers or Braves versus the Phillies in the NLCS. And that is a win-win for Major League Baseball, because the ratings would have been much better, because you would have had the best team in baseball, best record in baseball, going up against either the Dodgers or Phillies. Either way, it would have been phenomenal. Instead, what you got was the best series, the best matchup of the entire postseason probably was Braves-Phillies, and we only got a five-game set. I'm not with that. And I'll be honest with you. I would like to see the NLDS go to seven games. I'm fine with the first round staying at three. I don't feel like you can let it just drag on. But you could go to seven games with the NLDS, seven games with the NLCS, and seven games with the World Series. And you could either A, go back to the one game play-in, or B, do what I've been saying to do, because I really hate the idea of the one game play-in, because just like the five game series in the division series, it's not right when you're talking about baseball to let it come down to such a small capsule. When we play this sport with the depth of your starting pitching, the depth of your bullpen, all that comes into place. But once again, if you're going to keep it to the five, either way, you need to make sure that the first round is a mother to get out of. And I've said this once, I'll say it again until they wake up. If you do not change this, you're going to have more of these goofy types of things happen. Because if you went to my plan, which would be play a doubleheader on the second game of the series. So let's say, for instance, we'll just take the Philly-Chicago scenario. Philly and Chicago would play Tuesday night to get it kicking, and then Wednesday you'd have a doubleheader. And obviously whoever won game one would have the advantage going into game two, but also when you come out of Wednesday, you get that one-day travel day, and then you're back on it by Friday. You could do the same thing in the other league. You could play Wednesday and then doubleheader on Thursday. Give them the one-day travel day, and then you're back at it on Saturday. And the main reasoning for that, not only does the intensity ramp it up, because if you're watching the games and you're a fan, you're like, dude, we got to get out of this. We cannot let this go to three games. But then the other thing is, when you come out of there, let's say if you go to three games, guess what? Your bullpen's depleted. Your starting pitching's depleted, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And the team waiting for you, who earned it all year long, well, they have a true advantage now. Okay, back to the Chris Sale. Let's hear from him talking about coming into this season for the first time in a long time. He's healthy.
It's been a long time. So, this was fun. I went into the offseason. I had a lot of fun this offseason being able to play baseball and do things that I haven't been able to do. You know, I was throwing bullpens here early in the offseason, and I was supposed to throw 20, and you end up throwing 33, 34, and it's like, well, I haven't been able to do this. So, I get to like 20, and it's like, man, I'm still having fun doing this. So, I want to keep doing it. So, this is the first time I had gone into an offseason without dealing with something since 2018, something like that. So, I appreciate where I'm at. I appreciate all the people that helped me get to where I'm at. Just looking forward to this great opportunity ahead of us. I never don't feel at home with self. I've always been me. So, my expectations don't waver. I expect to do what I've always done, compete to the highest level. So, a little bit older, but still got it in there. I do get intense. I like to compete, and I hate to lose. So all those things, kind of slam them together with high pressure situations. Sometimes you get a little off the rails, but I like to think I can dial it in when I need to, and hopefully that lifts guys up around me.
Look, I might be drinking the Kool-Aid, but I'm telling you right now, Chris Sale to the Atlanta Braves is going to be a much bigger deal when we look back on this in October, November of this year, than what a lot of folks, everyone wanted to break the internet when Shohei Ohtani went to the Dodgers. He cannot pitch until 2025. Everybody wanted to do backflips and go over the moon when Yamamoto went to the Dodgers as well. Prediction: the LA Dodgers, it is going to be a grind of a season because of the absolute chaos, the media circus that's going to be following the Dodgers around. And it's going to start on March 20th. Actually, it's going to start a few days before that because they're going to be getting over to Korea, getting ready for the opening series between San Diego and the Dodgers. By the way, if you are up and you're at them and you're at work or whatever, we are going to carry the game. Long story short, talked to a couple of folks, and they want to carry the game, and we're going to get it. We're going to do it. It's a 6:05 in the morning first pitch. But I'm used to getting up at that time nowadays, so really isn't that big a deal. And I said, yeah, we'll do it. Happened to be off from a couple of day gigs that day, so we're going to do it. And we've been expanding. If you've been paying attention to the Braves Country Radio YouTube channel, we have been expanding our upcoming broadcast schedule. Real quick, February 28th, 1:05 first pitch. That is Wednesday. Phillies, Braves. Let's get it. Pitch by pitch, play by play, your Atlanta Braves spring training. Now, if more options pop out, we will add to them. So my best advice would be, if you want to catch these games, and I know, look, a lot of folks want to listen to the spring training games when they're at work and whatnot, whether they're just throwing the earbud in or they've got it on their desk at work. We are going to add them as they become available. The Atlanta Braves have been incredibly slow at adding games that they are going to broadcast personally. So we're waiting for those to be put in stone, but they're not planning on broadcasting their games on TV until late in March. But what we are doing is we are grabbing games that are being broadcasted on other outlets, and we're going to bring them to you that way. So you'll still be able to see the games. If you want to hear the Braves call, come to us. Okay, so we're going to do February 28th, Wednesday, Phillies. A few days later, March 2nd, Saturday, Toronto Blue Jays, 1:05 first pitch. Then that following Thursday, March 7th, against the Red Sox, 1:05 first pitch. And like I said, we're going to be adding others, but as of right now, those are the ones we've put in stone. And then March 20th, 6:05 first pitch, opening series of Major League Baseball, Dodgers and Padres in Seoul, Korea. It's 1 week before the Braves and the rest of Major League Baseball have their official opening day, which is Thursday, March 28th. And yes, we will bring those games to you. But then the following day, 6:05 first pitch, we're going to do Dodgers-Padres again. And the plan right now, assuming it gets broadcast in some fashion, we're going to do a doubleheader that day on the 21st, that Thursday. Yankees-Braves, 1:05 first pitch. We just haven't made a card on it for YouTube because it hasn't been put in stone. But I would think between Atlanta and New York market, one of them is going to carry it on video. They've been really slow to add these. I think a lot of it, to be honest with you, is got to do with the broadcast contract situation that's going on with Bally Sports, Diamond Sports, however you want to say it. Diamond Sports was the company that's going into bankruptcy. And of course, Bally's is the brand that you see on your TV, but it's all under Diamond Vision. But yeah, so those are the games so far, but we are planning on doing several this spring. We're just waiting for them to unfold. We will be back in a flash here on Braves Country Radio. Hey, Braves Country. This is Mac McGee with Braves Country Radio. We are bringing you pitch by pitch, play by play of your Atlanta Braves all year long. Please like and subscribe today. It's free, and it helps us bring you more of the game we all love. Braves Country Radio, your home for the classic call of Braves Country Baseball. So back to the Chris Sale. This is what I thought this was cool. This is what Michael Harris had to say about the Braves being able to add someone as great as Chris Sale. And then I'll get back to my point on why I think the Dodgers are in for a long season.
He's phenomenal. I mean, he's done so much in his career. I don't know how we got him, but that's just Alex doing his job. He's really good at doing that, and he always finds a way. So, yeah, just getting a guy like that and some of the other pieces we got are huge for this team that people probably would notice. But, yeah, getting a guy like Sale can really give us that extra edge.
And I think a lot of folks who probably don't watch a lot of American League Baseball don't realize how special Sale is. You're going to fall in love with him, Braves Country. I guarantee it. I would be shocked if you don't become enormous Chris Sale fans. Now, I've been a fan of his long before he even came to the Red Sox. I've just been following his career. I play a lot of fantasy baseball, so I pay attention to teams, players that are not in Braves Country. And I've never really had him in any of my fantasy leagues, but I've always admired his ability to go to the bump and his ability for that swing and miss. And he has got a competitor's edge. He's every bit the reason. Without Chris Sale, there is no 2018 World Series championship for the Boston Red Sox. And I know they got caught with the Apple phone thing. It wasn't nearly as bad as the same kind of cheating that the 2017 Astros did. But the 2018 Red Sox still have their own dark clouds over that championship. But you put all that aside, what happened on the field, Chris Sale, first of all, that whole Apple phone thing, that was all to do with the offense. It had nothing to do with the pitching. But that Chris Sale year, I mean, he got the final out in the World Series. He was a starting pitcher. It's because you just could not hit him. And you look at what he did or has done in his career. And look, his biggest problem has been staying healthy. But when he has been healthy, he has been damn near, well, we're not going to say unhittable, but nasty. Very difficult to deal with. Obviously, left-handed hitters are going to have an issue going against Sale. And you think about the possibility, if you get into October, if we have a healthy Chris Sale, we have a healthy Max Fried, that lines up really nice. If you go up against the Dodgers in the NLCS, there's a lot of left-handed sticks, Freddie Freeman, Shohei Ohtani. And then, of course, if they go up against the Phillies, Bryce Harper hits from the left side of the plate. And that can't be an accident that We go out. First of all, we went out and got left-handers galore with Aaron Bummer. We got Madsen coming back, and you had Chris Sale. You think it's an accident that we pinpointed a left-handed pitcher? I don't think it is. Very little that Alex Anthopoulos does is on accident. But you look at Chris Sale real quick and what he's done in his career. First of all, overall, he's 120-80 with a 3.1 ERA. He's had 1,780 innings pitched with 2,189 strikeouts. And his whip, this is one of the best things about it, his whip 1.04. Now, his numbers when he was younger obviously were better. But I've got some Red Sox buddies, and they watch quite a bit of his games. I'm actually going back and watching Chris Sale ball games that he pitched for the Red Sox last year because I want to get an idea of what was going on last year. And yeah, you can sit there and you can look at this and you can look at that, but honest engine, what jumps off the page is what did he actually do? And I've been impressed so far, but I'm still in the middle of watching those games. But you look at what he did last year. Yeah, it didn't blow you away. But remember, he was coming back from yet another injury. He did throw up 102 innings pitched. You like that. And he did also, in those 102 innings pitched, he carried a 11.0 strikeouts per nine. His career is 11.1 strikeouts per nine. Now realize something. As of right now, that is an all-time record in Major League Baseball. There's a good chance it doesn't stay there, because for it to stay there, he would have to continue to go just a tick above where he was at last year at 11. But hey, he's got the stuff, but you just figure as a guy ages, it may not equate. But if you go back to where he was pre-injury, 2019, 2018, 2017, that was really his wheelhouse of just greatness. Chris Sale, in those 3 years, averaged over 13 strikeouts per nine. I think what you got from him last year is more indicative of what you're going to get on the swing and miss at this stage in his career. But hell, I'll take 11 to 12 anywhere in that neighborhood. Anything north of 11 the next few years. Strikeouts per nine, are you kidding me? Let's go. Sign me up right now. Prior to the 2020 season where he missed because of Tommy John surgery, he had that Tommy John. I had to go back and look it up to make sure, but he had the Tommy John. It was announced in early March. This is right during the pandemic, beginning of the pandemic. So he missed all of 2020, and then he missed a good portion of 2021. 2021, he came back, and he had 42 innings pitched. But that's where you've seen it fall off. Since the Tommy John surgery, he's averaged 7.9 in 2022, but realize he only pitched 5 innings. The reason why he pitched 5 innings, he's had some goofy injuries. Falling off a bicycle. I mean, just goofy injuries. So 2023, really a season where he battled a little bit of injury, but he did give you 102 innings pitched. He ends that season once again with 11.0 strikeouts per nine, just below his career average of 11.1 and the 4.3 ERA. Those don't blow you away. But his ERA plus was 106, meaning he's a little bit above average. Most of the numbers point to the fact, including his 1.13 whip, most of the numbers point to the fact that because you got to realize something, and I've said the same thing about Aaron Bummer coming over from the White Sox. Both of these left-handers are coming from two of the worst defensive baseball teams in Major League Baseball in 2023. So when you talk about the whip, which is the walks plus hits divided by innings pitched, you talk about the ERA, there's an expectation that it will drop, that if he went out there and pitched the same number that he pitched last year, this year, same number of pitches, innings, etc., that his ERA and his whip would actually be lower because the Braves' defense is much better. We all know Braves always have one of the top defenses in all of baseball. I don't think that's going to change. Nothing has really changed. So adding Jerry Kelenic at left field, and from all things that have pointed, Kelenic is a much better defensive option than obviously Eddie Rosario was. So we look forward to seeing what Chris Sale can do. What about Ronald Acuna Jr. and getting him an extension? So Ronald Acuna Jr., he was asked about being a lifetime Brave, getting an extension. But just realize something. He did not bring this up. This is a, well, they let just about anybody in the clubhouse nowadays. So this is someone down there at spring training. I don't know who asked it because they didn't identify themselves during the video. But the point is, this could be anybody trying to get clicks. You have people that get into the locker room. Remember the whole situation with Arcia and the Phillies and all that that unfolded? Well, that had to do with the fact that they just let anybody in the locker room nowadays. So he's answering the question. Basically, he's just getting to the point of them asking him about being a lifetime Brave. Also remember, Ronald Acuña Jr. has 5 more seasons left. He will be through 2028. November 2028, before any of this is even necessarily a problem. Now, I think the Braves would like to get him extended, don't get me wrong, but you got 5 years left on a very club-friendly deal. So there could be a couple of ways you look at it. We'll talk about that in a second, but 5 years left. It's a long time to figure things out. He has his contract through 26, which a lot of people are focusing on, but there's 2 club options, 27 and 28. So 5 more seasons. Here's Acuña and his interpreter on the matter.
Bueno, sí, no es un secreto para nadie que quiero ser un Bravo de por vida. Espero que así sea y podemos llegar a un acuerdo pronto.
It's not a secret that I want to be Brave for life, and that's my hope. I hope I can stay here forever, and hopefully we can, you know, make that happen soon.
Ronald Acuña Jr. is not looking for anything other than another great season. He just won the MVP. He's very happy. He's happy with the money that he's making, per se. But he's not an idiot. He looks around and sees guys that are nowhere near his talent that are making a hell of a lot more money. So I get that part of it. A couple of your beat writers always circled the $22 million that the Braves are trying to keep all their long-term players under. Ronald Acuña Jr., if we're going to keep him long-term, is going to be nowhere near that number. I do believe, just from things that you've heard over the last several months, that Acuña sits on a different level than all the other Braves. And if he comes in and brings in much higher than a $22 million a year contract, nobody in that clubhouse is going to be complaining. And they've got the advantage now, too, because most of these guys are locked up. And when you do kick that door, and I look, is it going to be this year? I don't know. It'd be great to hear. But realistically, the Braves can't kick in the door this season and affect his money this season because they would go skyrocketing through the threshold they're trying to stay under. We've talked about it before. Between $6 to $7 million is about where we're at. If you go any higher than that, adding to the contracts that they already have for this season, if you do that, not only are you going to pay a much higher tax, which obviously the brass is going to care about that, but also they would lose a high draft pick, and the Braves aren't about that. So if a deal gets done, I could see it happening either this preseason, spring training. I could see it happening during later in the year, but the money wouldn't kick in until at the very earliest 2025. I think they would try to kick that can down the road. I think what they would try to do is do a deal where he's got the next 5 years at the rate that he's at or somewhere in that neighborhood, and then the money would get much higher as it went on. Because once again, we've talked about this, in a few years, maybe sooner than later, the Braves are going to get out from under that terrible television contract, be able to renegotiate, and then at that point, a lot more money's coming in. And I'm telling you, people look at us as some just above mid-market team, not quite large market. If we get out from under that, we are going to be up there with the big boys, because it's not just the size of Atlanta, which is a very large metro area, but everybody knows whoever ponies up to carry the Atlanta Braves on a season by season, game after game after game, they are going to back the truck up, and rightfully so, because they know that Braves Country is nationwide. It's worldwide. We get people to come into Braves Country Radio all the time commenting on all of the places that they're living. And yes, all fan bases have that realistically. But to the numbers that I see Braves Country Radio, Braves Country is on a different level. It just is. A lot of it has to do with the fact that we grew up with TBS. You didn't have to be from the Southeast. You didn't have to be in the Atlanta market to grow up a Braves fan. I grew up in North Florida, and other than trips heading to see family driving through Georgia, it wasn't until I was a young man that I actually went to the state of Georgia and spent any time. But I knew my Atlanta Braves. And I've met people all over this great world, folks that grew up watching the Braves on TBS or listening to Braves radio way back in the day, and they could pick up the AM radio signal all over the Southeast. So when the Braves do have a chance to change their provider, and it's coming to an end with the bankruptcy, Atlanta Braves are going to be in good position. And I think that's more likely. Once they get that part figured out, then they're going to be able to have a clear path to getting guys like Acuna locked up. If it doesn't come earlier than later, we may lose guys like Max Fried, but don't worry. The Braves are not going to turn into some poverty-stricken franchise. They've got a huge following, and of course, not to mention the fact, hey, every night, Truist Park, that place is rocking. Let's listen to Brian Snicker before we jam out of here. We will be back in a flash here on Braves Country Radio. Hey, Braves Country, I'm Mac McGee. Join us for Pitch by Pitch, Play by Play, the classic call of Braves Country Baseball. We're bringing you Atlanta Braves baseball all year long. Jump into our pregame show, Braves Country Today, just before first pitch. Stick around for the postgame show, Braves Country Tonight, where we will open up the phone lines and react to your calls or your comments all year long. That's Braves Country Radio, pitch by pitch, play by play, your home for the classic call of Braves Country Baseball. Brian Snicker on basically all the new toys and the old toys coming back.
Brian, the amount of young talent the Braves have brought in, it seems like every year there's more and more. Who are you excited to see up close here this spring?
You know what? There's a lot of them. I'll tell you what. One of them's not the young ones. I'm kind of really excited to see some of our old ones, too. You know, Chris Sale's new in camp. See Charlie Morton again. Jared Kelnick is a really interesting kid that I can't wait for games to start to watch him. And we got some of the new guys. Hurston Waltrip that we, you know, took number one last year. Guys really like him. Saw him throw a side the other day. We got a lot of nice looking young players in camp and a lot of depth, I think, which we always need.
With Chris Sale, certainly watching him pitch so often over the years, what do you see with him that says he's still got it and he still has a very good repertoire to get through the season?
Well, I think that was part of the allure, I think, for us with him is how he ended the year last year and how he threw. And like I say, I'm watching this side and it's like, man, my God, you know. And this guy's he's a champion. He's a winner. I think he'll be great in our clubhouse because we have, you know, we have some young starters last year that had really, really good years. But you know what? They're still learning. And I think guys like that and to have, you know, a guy like Charlie in there is great for them. It's a great sounding board for those guys.
I remember Charlie, it was years ago when he was telling me he was close to considering retirement. Well, I've checked my watch. It's like 10 years later, he's still here. So I wonder, what keeps him going, do you think, Brian?
Well, I don't know. I talked to him. I watched him throw yesterday. And, I mean, you look at, you know, how driven Charlie is to do well and how he keeps himself going and takes care of himself. And you look at him right now, and I don't see a 40-year-old body, that's for sure. I mean, the guy he's lean. The ball's still jumping out of his hand. And Charlie, you know, he goes to the post. I mean, he doesn't miss starts. He takes the ball, and it's something else. I mean, I got so much admiration and respect for him, and just I love watching him do it. And it blows me away every time he takes that mound and I watch what he's doing. It's just amazing to me.
With Kelnick, is there a certain thought, Brian, that one of the reasons why you got him is that you take a player who's got that raw ability and put him in your culture and special things can happen?
No, I think that's you hit it right on the head. I think, and I talked to some of our guys who, you know, our young guys, our guys are still young too. I mean, and to put him in our clubhouse and what our guys do, how they go about it, I think is going to be great for him. I think it's, you know, because he's a young, tooled guy that has great ability, and I think he'll thrive in our situation with our guys.
Ronald Acuna Jr., history-making season for him in 23. So what's next for him in 24?
Yeah, you know what? I mean, the kind of year that he had, he might be the only guy I know that could go out and top what he did last year. I mean, and I know just seeing him at FanFest a few weeks ago, how excited he is. And you know, and there's another driven young man that just wants to continue to get better and has a lot of fun playing, which I always say if I had that kind of ability, I'd have fun playing too, you know. So I'm excited to get him back in camp because I know he's been working out. He's in great shape and raring to go.
There's a team training out in Arizona that's got a pretty good roster, too. And when you saw those first images of Shohei Ohtani in a Dodger uniform, as a manager and as a competitor, what did you think?
No, I loved last year when we played the Angels because I wanted to see him in person. I hadn't seen him in person yet, and he's an unbelievable talent. You know, it's fun to play. It's fun to play the best. You know, we consider ourselves as one of the best. So, you know what? I worry about my 26 and what we're doing because there's a lot of really good teams out there.
And a final question, Brian, looking to the future with Smith Shawver, but what do you see as the last things he's working on this spring to round out his repertoire?
Well, I've already seen development and growth with AJ. I mean, he was a young kid that came up. I loved how he handled himself. I think the mound presence, how he handled the situations is really good. It's just about experience with this kid. He's a total package, got a huge ceiling, and you know what? I've already seen improvement in him over the winter and what he's worked on, just watching side. So he's another kind of one of our young guys that I can't wait till the games to start to watch him go.
One thing we're going to have to get used to, Braves country, as you heard that interview, the tongue bath of the Los Angeles Dodgers, it's going to get to the point where non-Dodger fans are going to lose their mind. And I'm talking about fans of teams that live in big markets. They're going to say this is too much coverage. We're going to hear Yankee fans, definitely going to hear Red Sox fans because they're in for a rough year. But we're going to hear all of that in the very near future about how, dude, it's enough already. It's enough. Now, I told you we're going to get into the Pecota standings. We're going to go ahead and jump into it real quick. Not going to spend a lot of time on it this episode. But next time with Braves Country, we're going to dive in and do a deep dive. But I do want to hit the NL East real quick before we end this today. Atlanta Braves are expected right now at 100.7 wins. So we'll say 101 wins, right? I'm going to round these. The Philadelphia Phillies, 85 wins. We talked about this before, 16 wins in front. In fact, they've gained a decimal. It's really interesting. I check them all the time. The Mets, 84 wins, and that's being on the plus side because it's really 83.5, so really 83. I don't know if I buy that the Mets are going to be within two games or one game, however you split it, of the Philadelphia Phillies. I really don't see that. Miami, 80 wins, and Washington, 57. One thing I'll say, I think Washington could be a little better than their 50. So it's 57.9, so we'll say 58. You look at what Washington is doing, and they're building it the right way. Look, they had to tear it down because bums like Max Scherzer and Bryce Harper bailed on them. Guys like Soto, who started chirping and wanting out, and they said, you know what, screw it. We're going to bust the whole thing down. We just won the World Series. This is 2019, heading into 2020. It really kick-started it because of the pandemic. Honest engine, that was the best time to tear it down. And Washington's got some good, very fun to watch young players. If the Braves are off and you want to catch a game and you're kind of bored and you're like, well, who should I watch? Just watch that Washington team. They're gonna be a fun team to watch. They're gonna score some runs. They're gonna be a little difficult to keep up with the pitching because you normally don't make a huge commitment to your bullpen until that's the final piece. And then, of course, the starting pitching. They've got some young guys, but all in all, it's going to be a bit of a struggle. But I think there's a much better chance that Washington clears the 58-win mark than the Mets grabbed to 84. Look out west for the Dodgers, 102. So they continue to climb in these Pecota rankings. Pecota projections, excuse me, that's what they're officially called. Arizona, 85. San Francisco, 81. Watch out for the Giants. Watch out for the Giants. They are going to be better than advertised. San Diego, 80. I don't know if they get there. San Diego's in a sell now mode. They are in a. They're one of these teams where I don't think it's going to be a full-blown rebuild. It's more going to be a reshuffling in the deck, and they'll probably get a really aggressive next offseason. Remember, they just lost their owner, passed away. It's a long, long way for them to get back to where they could be like really competitive. We're talking about Championship League competitive. But they've got some cornerstones that they can build on. And Colorado is most likely going to be dreadful again. They're 57. There's nothing about Colorado that wows you. Their pitching is a long way away. They've got a few young pieces, but all in all, it's not happening. Real quick in the NL Central, and we're going to do a dive into the NL Central in the very near future, but Cardinals are projected to win that division. Cubs, Milwaukee, Cincinnati, and then Pittsburgh pulling up the rear. I think what you could see with the NL Central is you could see it being a three-team race, three going in three wide, St. Louis, Chicago, and Cincinnati. Even though they're projecting Milwaukee, I'm not buying it. They traded off Corbin Burns. I also think they're going to be sellers at the deadline. But you can never totally count out the Milwaukee Brewers because much like the Tampa Bay Rays of the American League, you can't name three guys on their roster and they find a way to win 85+. All right, we're going to get out of here, y'all. Great seeing you, Braves Country. Please like and subscribe, Braves Country Radio. We'll be here pitch by pitch, play by play of your Atlanta Braves all season long.